Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Right, boys, before we do the podcast, we're going to cross live to a press conference where Jonathan Beardmore is announcing his new squad. Let's cross live to Jonathan Beardmore.
Hello everyone, and welcome to the inaugural squad announcement of the international Beardmore rugby team. I'm proud to announce my first and only selection is actually Lucy Rhiannon Beardmore. There you go. Position undeclared.
To be determined.
To be determined.
Now, Jonathan, you've...
So you need to do it like you're a journalist. Jonathan, Phil Largan, Egg Chasers Rugby Podcast. Go.
Jonathan, Phil Largan, Egg Chasers Rugby Podcast.
Great, great podcast, by the way, Phil.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much, Jonathan. I know you listen. Now, in the past, you've often adhered to the let the boys play mantra with your squad. Now, how do you think this is going to continue going forward with the new addition?
It won't continue. It won't continue. It's a stupid question. Next question, please.
Jonathan, Tim, Egg Chasers Rugby Podcast. Question for
big
you.
Big fan, Tim. Big fan.
Thanks, Jonathan. I appreciate that. Question for you, Jonathan. Being as Lucy Rhiannon Beardmore was born in England and you are a self-declared plastic Welshman, surely there's no way that Warren Gatland can find a way round the rules to try and... acquire her services for the Principality.
She'll be free to play for whichever nation she decides to play for. Primarily Wales, though. Primarily Wales.
Okay. Congratulations, mate.
Thank you very much.
Well done, Jay.
Well done. Well done. Well done. Well done, Layla. To be honest, anyway.
Oh, it's a section. Come on.
Hold on. So what did you do on Sunday, JB? Your 3-day-old daughter was at home, and what did you do?
My level 2 RFU course.
What did you do on Saturday?
I coached Broughton Park to another crushing, soul-destroying
defeat.
You spent
the whole weekend with rugby.
Hey, it was already booked in, long before she was.
All right. Get that theme tune ready. Hands in, pod on three. 1, 2, 3. Pod. The Egg Chasers Rugby Podcast. We swelled our listening numbers by one. Whether Lucy likes it or not. But we are here to talk about rugby, the game we love, but we don't take it or ourselves too seriously. I'm Tim, that's Phil.
Hi, Tim.
That is new dad, JB.
Hello, Tim.
And it's JB's lack of sleep. Basically, he finally said, I'm quite tired, boys, on Sunday night, so we gave him an extra couple of hours kip.
And I feel really bad now, because everyone thinks I'm tired because, you know... newly minted father and all the rest of it. Actually, I'd watched all the NFL, I'd watched the UFC, I'd caught up with the rugby, I'd coached the rugby, and then I was in the middle of the Carolina Panthers Seahawks game at the time. I was like, oh, I could do the night off.
And that's what you missed the podcast for, but anyway. Right, well, at Rugby Podcast is where you can find us on Twitter, tweet, and we've had loads of them. Lots and lots of people congratulating you, JB, on the birth of Lucy. Lots of people were suggesting names and said, even if it's a girl, more than one person, a bunch of people were recommending that you called it Miles Benjamin Beardmore.
Miles Benjamina Beardmore.
Yeah, Benjamina Beardmore. What's the female version of Miles?
Yeah.
Miley and the Benjamina.
Miley Benjamina Beardmore.
Miley Benjamina Beardmore.
Miley would have been a great name.
God damn it.
Very
you
current.
Don't, no, you don't actually do the...
there's no paperwork done.
No, the paperwork has not been done yet. In fact, I have a friend whose mum was sort of too poorly to go to the council to register, hand in the papers. My friend's grandmother went and they changed the name because they didn't like the name the mum had picked.
Well, a guy's been on our podcast before, Mr. Adam Carolla. His middle name is Lakers because he went to DVLA or the equivalent in the United States and decided, well, I don't have a middle name. My parents never cared enough. So he just gave himself the middle name Lakers. So it's Adam Lakers Carolla.
Maybe I should do that. I've not got a middle name.
Do you not?
No.
Ooh, Ulster?
Phil Ulster Largan.
We'll see. Mm. We'll put some more thought into it.
Yeah, send us your ideas for Phil's middle name.
We could sell it. It could be a property.
That's a great idea.
A marketing ploy.
Did someone dye their hair or something? Or like a brewery?
Epi Tyone changed his name to Paddy Power for one of
those. That's the one! And he dyed his hair green!
Yes.
Yes, thank you.
Yes.
I couldn't remember what it was.
Awesome.
I'm not going that far. I'm not going to be called Phil Paddy Power Lagan before anyone gets any ideas. Unless the money's good enough.
Never rule anything. Everything has a price. Just ask most Sale Sharks players.
I've heard a new one. Cipriani to Hall of
Fame. Oh, yeah, that's not new, that.
Is it not?
No, that's been doing the rounds for a bit, but yes.
Apparently it's a done deal.
I've heard lots of rumours that that's a done deal.
Sam Tui Tupou.
Sippers to Quins.
Sam Tui Tupou?
Yeah.
Gone as well.
Really?
I don't know where to. My sources have not told me where.
Sippers to Quins would be a good signing for Quins.
Really good.
It'd be a terrible move for Sale, though.
Yeah. I mean, losing their best player.
It goes without saying, really.
I mean, I feel so bad for them, though, because Tommy Taylor's gone, who's meant to be the leader of the
young ones. Hasn't been announced by either side, but he is gone.
Oh, he's gone.
He's going to Wasps.
He's gone.
As we announced.
They've got a replacement
anybody,
for Tommy Taylor, though.
Who?
Rob Webber.
Yeah.
What? When did this happen?
Well, again, it's not been announced, has it?
Not formally. It's apparently a done deal.
Where did you hear that?
In the rugby paper this week.
Oh, crikey. I should read the rugby paper more often.
Mm. Well, no, but they get a lot of their intel from us.
Yes. That is true. We should start rumours here.
Yeah.
We really should.
Is that not what we do most weeks?
Yeah, it is.
Right, on the podcast today, we are going to be talking about our reaction to Eddie Jones' first England squad. Wales and Ireland both named their international squads, so we'll have a quick chat about that. And there was a big European weekend of rugby, which we're going to get our teeth into. And as much as anything, looking ahead, I think we should spend a little longer looking ahead than we normally do, because the permutations of the final round of pool matches in Europe thrown up some really interesting possibilities.
Ospreys. Let's talk about the Ospreys. Dan Biggar had an off game.
He did.
And I think I've added a new ingredient to the recipe, which is Dan Biggar, which is it needs to be a seriously big stage before he becomes Dan Biggar. Like, it needs to be a little bit more...
This was a big stage.
Yeah, but it wasn't a World Cup stage, was it? It wasn't
in
international.
In club rugby terms, it's pretty big.
Yeah, and then replaced by Sam Davis, who actually, you know, kicked the remainder of the points to make sure they actually went through.
And he put a bit of pace into it as well, Sam Davis did.
Yes.
You look good.
But the real story here, the real story isn't even a Welshman. He's an Englishman. Do you know who I'm referring to?
Samuel Underhill.
The curious case of Samuel Underhill.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. Now, I don't understand this. This guy has captained England at multiple age grades.
Under-16s and under-18s.
He made his debut for Gloucester at, I think, 18 in the LV Cup.
17.
Yeah.
Born in the USA, Dayton, Ohio.
Yeah. So we've all got the same...
We're on Wikipedia, yeah?
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
But I just don't understand how this has happened. I can't understand how they've got the national captain and he's somehow at Ospreys and he's not at one...
I think it's quite simple what's happened.
Maybe you can shed some light here. Because you went to a university and you were university with your brother.
Yeah.
Now, did he go to Bath University because he wanted to go to university there and play rugby for Bath, or is it the other way around? He wanted to play rugby for Bath and then went to university.
He was at Bath and then went to university, but I know Andy Beattie, for example,
yeah,
and he went to Exeter with a scholarship to go and play for Exeter Chiefs and go to university in Exeter, and that's quite often how it works. So Sam Underhill is still at Cardiff University.
That's right, yeah.
He's only 19,
but there's talk that apparently there's rumours that Bath have got him and he can transfer because he's doing an economics degree and that can transfer to another university.
I don't understand why the English clubs have not said, look, we'll give you a bit of a scholarship, we'll pay your fees in Bath University, because apparently you can do economics there too, or Bristol or Gloucester or anywhere else.
Because he just loves the idea of Cardiff on a Wednesday night.
But like,
Unite in Cardiff.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, but the problem is he's outside of the system now. He isn't available for the England selection. He's had man of the match.
He's nowhere near England selection.
Well, why is it Otchi?
He's played seven senior games in his whole life.
Yeah, but why did the Todgy But this kid, in three games, has got two man of the... Well, at least one man of the match, and he was the outstanding player in a win against Claremont.
Well, maybe this is a example of... Because Sam Underhill is kind of doing it the old school way, where he's going to university. He's having a kind of a bit more of a rounded existence.
I mean, how much more rounded is it, really? Well, I mean, he's still playing professional rugby, and he's still at university.
I know, but you kind of get the feeling that some young rugby players are being put through a rugby sausage factory, which sounds like we're going back to Worcester House, isn't it? Academy House.
If you're Sam Underhill and you're the England captain, but here's the wild card, and this is the route I might take. You're also American heritage, born in Dayton, Ohio, as you mentioned. Why don't you just hold off a bit and then become Mr. American Rugby?
Captain American Rugby.
Captain American Rugby. Wouldn't that be awesome?
Mm. There's loads of New Zealanders who have Samoan or Tongan or Fijian heritage.
But it's not the USA, is it?
I mean, they want to play for the All Blacks because it's the best shot at being the best. So
I think that's slightly different because playing for Tonga, I mean, it's playing for Samoa, you don't see any of the money because it's all embezzled by the higher-ups, okay? So you see nothing. Playing for the United States, however, that's pretty cool.
No one cares, though. We were in Chicago when the Eagles were playing the All Blacks, and we're asking people in the street, so do you know why we're here? Do you know what sporting event's going on? Nope.
But a promising athlete, and Warren Gatland will probably try, but he will not get his mitts on Sam Underhill.
Do not be so sure. Do not be so sure.
Ross Mariotti played England under 18s, and
look where he is now.
He has got a dad who played for Wales.
Yes,
slightly different.
That is true.
He's playing at Liverpool St Helens not so long ago.
Was he?
Yeah, apparently.
Wow.
Petrus du Plessis, Ross Moriarty, they've got a bit of a production line going there.
Yeah.
As for the game, brilliant win by Ospreys, and actually when you look at it, I can understand why Exeter, in the other half of that pool, didn't go for it. But clearly, if they'd have put out a decent team, they'd have probably beaten Bordeaux. And then they'd have been in a really good position, but they've got injuries. I understand balancing Premiership and Europe is a really tough ask, and it's clear that they've made the call. Do you know what? We're just going to focus on the Premiership.
Yes, and... It's obviously a tough call to make.
But why?
A little bit disappointing. Yeah.
Why focus on the Premiership to get into Europe to give up on Europe? Can I also mention something else about the flanker, Victor Kolayashvili? Is that how you say his name?
Kolayashvili, yeah.
Kolayashvili.
Oh my God. The new scariest rugby player in the world.
Yeah.
He is an old school psychopath.
Are you referring to him pushing Wayne Barnes out of his way? But
I'm just
all over.
His overall demeanour. Just, he didn't... Ref, big deal, pushed. He's not like... Alan Wynne-Jones and him got into an altercation, and there couldn't be a bigger contrast. Alan Wynne-Jones got him into the altercation. He starts striking Wynne-Jones on the floor. As soon as Wynne-Jones is struck, he immediately puts his arms out going, sir, I'm getting hit in the face. This guy doesn't care. He is not interested. I think he's one of the few guys left now in professional rugby who is genuinely scary. Genuinely.
Well, I think you have stuck the knife into Wayne Barnes a few times, but I think everyone should pay him a compliment for the way he dealt with being pushed out the way.
I thought it was tremendous.
It wasn't with malice.
It was with malice.
It kind of was.
It was 100% with malice.
The motivation behind it wasn't to hurt him.
Yeah,
it was to say, referee, it was basically, ref, you're in my way, get out of my way. But he did that in a really bizarre way.
Jordan's own, okay, fine.
But Wayne Barnes dealt with it brilliantly. Just said penalty and be careful. For goodness sake, talk to me rather than...
Yeah, because that could have escalated real quick. If Wayne Barnes decided to fall over, like the Paulo Di Canio incident or something like that, that could have got out of hand real quick. I thought he had a really good game, but I like that when he yellow carded him, he's like, do you know what? And for before as well, card, gone.
I quite like Alan Wynne-Jones saying, no, don't guard him.
Yeah, the whole thing was
quite good.
The whole thing was great.
Raw's tweeted on that one, on the subject of Alan Wynne-Jones saying, don't card him. Raw's pointed out, he said, well, it is Friday night in Swansea. Alan Wynne-Jones expects to get punched.
Hey, bats.
on that, I thought Alan Wynne-Jones was absolutely exceptional.
As was Tipperick.
Yeah, Tipperick was as well. Mm. The whole Ospreys defence was superb. It was built on that, them just absorbing wave after wave of the monstrous Claremont attackers. It was superb.
Yeah, it was
really
great.
Really well deserved performance.
Lots of Jonathan Spratt shouting at the team to go forward.
Forward!
Forward!
I love that. I was listening again to that this week.
Your impression is so on point. Yeah. I think we might add a section of this podcast where we interview you and you have to answer everything in the voice of Jonathan Spratt.
That really cracked me up, that.
Yeah, that's good.
Very good, Tim.
Right, so that's that pool kind of done. We've got... Ospreys are going to qualify. Clermont, we'll get to whether they could qualify when we look ahead. What other game caught your eye then? Because we don't really want to talk about everything, because, you know, the other game on Friday night I was working at, and
ooh, tell us about that.
Newport had a good win against Cast.
There was a sighting from it, Thomas Rees-Thomas.
But yeah, there's been a few sightings, hasn't there?
It's been three today. Kolarovsvili, as far as I'm aware, hasn't yet been sighted. But Thomas Rees-Thomas is cited for biting. Chris Ashton cited for gouging Luke Marshall.
My theory on that is that they actually, it was the, they've cited him, but it was probably Dylan Hartley, and they just, they've got the faces mixed up.
That makes sense.
Nearly identical.
And actually, that's a good reason alone to bring Ashton back into the England squad. Yeah. To half the chances.
Confuse the referee.
Yeah.
And if you lose Ashton for 10 minutes, at least your set piece will still go
exactly
very
right.
Well.
Yeah.
So there's that, which yeah. If it's the incident I'm thinking about, I don't think it's a gouge. He did grab him around the head, but it wasn't a gouge. So he might get maybe a 1 or 2 week ban. But if it's a gouge, it's potentially 10-12 weeks.
Done.
Yeah.
Mm.
If it's a gouge, if it's a genuine gouge, and I'll give you like the Quinlan one, I think that should be a year ban. That should even, oh, I hate gouging so
massive.
Much.
Yeah, I'll go
it
with that.
And the other ban was Glasgow flanker Ryan Wilson for squeezing Lee Dixon's testicles.
Hang on, stop now.
Has anyone ever done that to you in a game?
No, but I've never played for Exeter Chiefs, so...
Well, yeah, this could lead to...
The whole Exeter Chiefs team getting cited every time that they score.
Well, for the cock tap.
2 years worth of retrospective bans on the full squad. This could be horrendous. Exeter Chiefs title shot out of the window.
Gone.
I remember it happening to me in Berkshire, the very first trial match I ever had at schoolboy level. So it was under-16s. Berkshire, I was like from West Berkshire, and we played against East Berkshire.
Sounds like a nasty rivalry, that, doesn't it? Sounds like Bronx versus, you know, some Queens or something.
The Hoods and the Crips. Bloods and the Crips.
Yeah, well basically it was, because there's no...
Do you want to show up in, like, red bandanas and stuff?
There's no private schools from the
in
area.
In Berkshire?
Not from West Berkshire.
What did you do there, and then tag the post with spray paint?
Not from West Berkshire. It was... We were
not from West Berkshire. No. Okay, go on.
West Side. We were all the comprehensive kids, and East Berkshire was, they were all Eton. They were all kids from Eton.
Right, okay.
And this lad, and I think he's, well, who knows, he might even listen, or someone might know him in the world of rugby, but his name was Dominic St. George, and he was the number 8 for them, the other team. And the very first ruck we went into, he obviously knew I was the other number 8, and he went to find me, and he grabbed and
ooh,
squeezed my nuts the very first ruck I was in.
Ooh.
So obviously a tactic.
Premeditated.
Is
premeditated
it an oil, tactic. I think it's an oil jack.
I got the number 8 shirt, by the way.
Good.
For Southwest as well. Anyway,
good.
There's not a place to brag. Anyway, go on.
You.
Is it an oil check?
An oil check. You ever heard of that?
It's
a wrestling move.
Sounds like something you do with a finger.
It is, yes, a finger. And where might you check some oil?
The old dipstick.
Yeah, something. I can't remember the exact term for it, but it's a wrestling term, not WWE, actual proper Olympic wrestling. And I think you can still do it, which is you grab your opponent using your digits and, you know. Okay? And that actually happened to me in a training session. I was pulled out of a ruck accidentally. Someone came around. Dave Hocknall, you know who you are. Yeah, horrific.
Is that litigious? What we've both done by naming people who've done some...
Just say it's alleged.
Alleged, yeah.
Yeah, you'll be
allegedly.
Fine.
Yeah, allegedly.
Right.
Yeah, so where were you, anyway?
Sightings and...
Yeah, so those... Well, three sightings, possibly four, if Kolarovsvili also gets sighted. So we'll see in the week what happens from them, because it could be people missing Six Nations.
Let's focus on the games that were really mattered and were really important, and in terms of tension, there's probably none bigger in all those scenarios than Toulon Wasps.
Oh, what a game. Now, this was so low scoring, but such a good game. And not because it was the best standard of rugby, just because it was so damn tense. Absolutely heartbreaking at the end.
There was just a sense of inevitability, wasn't there?
It was exactly what it was, Tim. Exactly.
So brilliantly executed at the end, though, to keep the ball for that long.
Yes.
Wait for the mismatch. It was.
But the mismatch wasn't really a mismatch. Drew Mitchell went through Elliot Daly, who just didn't mark up, from what I could see. But it did highlight the fact that England have got a tremendous scrum half in Joe Simpson, and he should really be considered now.
Wonderful scrum half. Mm. He was superb.
Do you know what Wasps have? They have characters. There are certain guys in there which just think, that guy wouldn't let me down. Joe Simpson's one of them. I'll tell you the other one who I would love to have in my team is Ashley Johnson. He just feels like he wouldn't let you down.
I think you questioning Elliot Daly on that last try is a bit tough, because if you look at it, like, Nonu's does that, is doing a drift one way. Mitchell's line
is awesome.
Hard,
it is good.
Straight, and he comes at
it
full
good,
pelt. And he runs at the gap.
I'd have to watch it again to criticise him properly, but I do think Elliot Daly should have made that tackle.
If you're going to pick up on Elliot Daly for anything, it is his defence. He's positionally, he's not always 100%.
Tim, do you think pate is a treat?
I'd say it's a treat as much as cheese is a treat. It's like you normally serve up a meal, mm-hmm. and you just have your meal. If you have a meal with a dessert and then a cheese board, I mean, that's a proper treat. Same with a starter pate, yeah.
Exactly. Do you know who doesn't think pate is a treat?
Bougelad.
Bougelad does not like pate. But he does like foie gras. This week he described going from Johnny Wilkinson to Quade Cooper from going down from foie gras to pate. The only time pate's been used as a derogatory term, I think.
It just but foie gras is exceptional.
But doesn't it just show the wealth of the man?
England's Johnny Wilkinson, you mean?
Yeah,
England's Johnny Wilkinson.
England's coach Johnny Wilkinson, potentially, by the sound of it.
That's a weird story, isn't it?
I met him in a supermarket, and we went for a coffee.
We met in Waitrose and went for a coffee. Free coffee on their Waitrose cards.
You think if he wanted Johnny Wilkinson as a coach, he would have just picked up the phone and gone, Johnny, I want you as part of my coaching team, rather than, oh yeah, I've been meaning to talk to you, Johnny. I'm glad I bumped into you.
I came in here looking for some milk, and I've ended up getting an international calibre kicking coach.
Yeah. Look, it's on my list. Milk, biscuits, international kicking coach.
Okay. Neil Jenkins was on aisle four. Devastated.
So what's his role? Is he going to be kicking coach or backs coach?
There's no formal offer or been made or accepted yet. It's all
kicking.
He'd like to have him involved.
Yes. And kicking coach is his current role at Toulon.
I once met a rugby agent in a garden centre. Apparently that's where he took all of his clients for coffees.
I've met a bunch of different radio bosses in the past. You know, as a radio presenter, you sort of have meetings. And of course, it's quite odd, because if you went to anywhere too close or to where other radio people would be, then that would make people talk. It's quite a small industry, really, so tongues get wagging and rumours get started and all the rest of it. So I've met in all sorts of different coffee shops, like museum coffee shop with one, stuff like that. So yeah, I get it.
Well, there you go.
I get it. Right. But what a game, and that pool still open to an extent. But
it
again,
is.
We'll talk
it is.
About.
What are the permutations for that pool? Or do you want to go?
You can't look at that pool in isolation. Really, you have to look at them all together. So, which we will do.
We'll look at that at the end.
Is there any other games that kind of jump out that need to be talked about? I mean, I think your Ulstermen let themselves down in that second half, didn't they?
Yeah, it's same as the first one.
Did they let themselves down, or did they really step it up towards the end?
Well, it was that try from Saracens just on half time took the wind out their sails at the end of the first half.
Yeah, and not only was it the try from Saracens, 2 minutes earlier Ulster had two penalties, one which they put into the corner, and Rory Best missed his line out, missed his jumper, and then they had another penalty and Paddy Jackson missed sticks, and then
Rory Best had a horrible day.
He's so overrated.
His set piece, he round the park is superb.
After us mentioning it again last week, Ian Mayer was at the Saracens game and went, oh my word, I've only just noticed Jim Hamilton's tiny calf muscles. They really are tiny, you were right. And then I do like this one as well. We got a message saying, after that performance, is Itoje England's prize winning marrow?
Wow.
Which is excellent.
Very good.
I think that's
good.
What we should refer to him now as.
A prize-winning Marrow.
Prize-winning Marrow. That's how we shouldn't call him Marrow Itoji.
That's much better. I've seen Super Marrow a couple of Mario.
Funny.
Yeah, that's a bit clunky. I prefer prize-winning Marrow.
Yeah, prize-winning Marrow from now on.
Honorary best. I mean, his percentages for Ireland are generally superb. I mean, in the World Cup, I think he was on something like 30 consecutive lineouts that he hit. Ulster. Losing Hendo is a big blow, and it does change things a little bit. But also Saracens, they obviously do their homework, and Itoje is very, very good. He was less than 50%. He was on 25% at one point. His lineups.
Oh.
Yeah, it's Dave Ward kind of stats.
They are Dave Ward stats, and Dave Ward might even be better on the park.
I think we'll talk about the games that we saw in the context of the games that are coming up. So let's leave the European rugby for a moment, and let's move on to the international rugby, because before we know it, it'll be Six Nations time. Eddie Jones named his squad.
He did.
When you listened to our podcast last week, some of us got some stuff kind of on the money.
Like me.
In line with Eddie Jones.
Mostly like me.
What, in terms of Sam Hill?
Only I said, hear me now, believe me later, Sam Hill for England. There
well,
you go.
I think when you were talking about my cull of the back row, you were also raising your eyebrows at that. But other than Haskell, I think I got it absolutely spot on.
You did?
Yeah,
you did.
Of course, Haskell, my personal captain, probably will be captain.
Well, I'm looking at that England squad, and bearing in mind Kvesic is only in as an injury replacement for Ewers. I think Haskell is his seven.
He is a seven.
Well,
to start against Scotland.
Now, I am conflicted about
this. I'm really confused what's going on.
So you read what Eddie Jones has been saying, and he's specifically said with regard to Robshaw, he does not want a six and a half. He sees Robshaw as a six.
Yeah.
He's only considering Robshaw as a six. Haskell, for me, is no better seven than Robshaw. He's a very similar player. So I can't see him, after saying that about Robshaw, he putting Haskell as a seven.
But who would you put seven?
And Clifford has played there a little bit for Quins, but he's really an eight, and he's not really a seven, which means that Kvesic is the only out-and-out
seven. But
Kvesic's
only in as an injury replacement for Ewers.
And Ewers is clearly a six.
Haskell's in.
It just doesn't really make sense.
I think Haskell's a seven to start.
I think it is, but it doesn't make sense. Haskell is not a seven.
No, I think
I would suggest Robshaw's a better seven, simply because Robshaw's got better hands than Haskell.
He's not a jackling seven. He isn't. But he does tackle a lot. He does work hard.
So does Robshaw.
So does Robshaw.
I don't see the distinction.
You see, I completely agree. So the seven has still got me scratching my head. Well, and let's talk about the two... Right, no. Wait a second. Let's keep this focused. Let's talk about the two areas that there was lots of controversy and lots of debate around England for the last couple of years. Those two positions are seven, and I still think it's not clear, the seven situation. And secondly, the other one was 12.
12.
Which was always the big debate point for the last year or so. And I still think there's an element of debate there because...
Huge element of debate.
The two names in the squad are Sam Hill and Ollie Devoto, although Ollie Devoto is injury replacement for Manu Tuilagi.
And Sam Hill is an injury replacement for Henry Slade.
Henry Slade. So there you go. There's
and
your two.
Devoto is a replacement for Hill when he goes to Exeter next year.
Yeah.
Someone said something quite funny the other day, which is Sam Hill is Tom Young's if he made it at centre, which I think is pretty much on the money.
With 12, you've also got to consider another thing that Eddie Jones said this week, which is he sees Scotland away at Murrayfield as being a very difficult fixture, and he would not like to have any debutants in that fixture. He would like to bring new caps in, perhaps in the Italy game. So that means that Devoto and Hill won't start.
No, and maybe we're going to get to see what we wanted to see a couple of years ago, Phil.
Which is, and I think this is an almost certainty, barring injury, that we're going to see Ford at 10 and Farrell at 12.
I completely agree.
Which leads to another curious thing about the squad, which is there's only two fly halves.
Mm-hmm.
And when your first choice fly half is also your first choice inside centre, that means you've only really got one fly half.
Yeah.
So Alex Coon is a makeshift, but that means it is surprising that
Cipriani hasn't been called up. Yes. However, I would temper that by saying, overall, I do like the squad.
Yeah.
I like that he's brought Mullen in. And I like that he's brought Beaumont and Itoje in, and Cruis, obviously, who we've already spoke about, and Clifford's come in, and Ewers, who's really gone under the radar because he's he's come into the EPS, but then he's been replaced via injury. But I think that is a massive move. We've been saying it for a long time.
Can I just say, I completely agree with you. What I like about the squad, when I look at it in general, and again, there's some issues there. The seven position doesn't maybe have this in the same way, and the centre position as it stands with the squad going into Scotland doesn't have this, but longer term does have it. I like that he's gone effectively two players in every position, and one comes out, one slots in.
Yeah.
And in most positions, you can see where he's going. They're one, they're two. The other thing I like about it in terms of balance, and this will lead us on to one of the areas, one of the mistakes I think he's made in selection, is what he's done is he's gone, I've got to win now because that's what the job demands.
Yes.
But I've got to win in Japan. So he's sort of made a call where he's gone, I'm going to pick an experienced player in every position, maybe two, but in every position, I'm going to pick someone who is not going to necessarily start, but he's young and could be my starter.
Isn't this the curse of international rugby, which is you want your best players playing now, you want your best possible squad now, then how does that develop people for 4 years' time?
So that's why I think he's good. So second row, he's gone, all right, I've got my first two, let's say Laws and Launchbury. That, therefore, if you're not in my top two and you're 31, Jeff Parling, you're gone. And he's gone.
Jeff Parling.
And he's gone with his back row. There's my first choice. It's Robshaw. It's Vunipola. It's Haskell. If you're too old, Wood, Clark, you're gone. Or you're not going to be part of the World Cup, you're gone. I'm getting young guys in. And I kind of like the balance he's got there. Although I think the one position that I think he's got that wrong, in my opinion, is hooker, because I think he's gone. Dylan Hartley's my experience number one choice.
Yeah.
Jamie George is playing really well, so I'll get him in, and I'll pick Luke Cowan-Dickie, and therefore Tom Young, sorry mate, you're gone.
I agree with that. I think Tom Young should go.
Dylan Hartley hasn't played this year, and played badly last year.
But your best hooker's George, on form is George.
Yeah, but I just think Tom Young's, don't understand the selection.
Yeah, 100% George is number one for me. Hartley, yeah. Not proved himself at all this year. Obviously, the question marks about his disciplinary, but his form and fitness, there's huge question marks over those.
The discipline bothers me far less than the form. He hasn't played or hasn't played well for 18 months.
Would you have Youngs for Hartley?
I'd have Youngs for Hartley. I can't say this is an official source or anything, but I got third hand.
That'll do.
So there could be Chinese whispers about this. I will temper it with that. But from Tom Young's himself, what he was told by Eddie Jones that the reason he wasn't in was...
The players have been told, haven't they?
Yeah. Got this from Tom Young's talking to someone else in his position in the England squad.
Okay.
Who then spoke to a teammate who knows someone that I know quite well.
Okay.
And what Tom Young's was told was... The reason he's not in the England squad is his ball carrying and his tackling weren't good enough.
That's interesting.
Now
that nothing to do with his set piece.
Absolutely astonishes me, because I saw some stats recently that put him, I think he was the second best for frequent carries and frequent tackles in the whole of the England pack behind Billy Vunipola. So better than Haskell, better than Robshaw on minutes, like average per minutes played.
Did you see the Northampton game? Did you see Tom Young's in that Northampton game?
I'm trying to think. Yeah, I did.
He was immense.
He was miles ahead of any of the type five for England in terms of carries per minute and tackles per minute. So that astonishes me.
I understand what Eddie Jones has done, and a lot of it I like. I would be devastated if I was Tom Youngs, because I don't know what more he can do.
I don't think he can do any more in terms of carrying and tackling,
which is
he really can't.
His line-out stats are fantastic for Leicester.
Superb, but it doesn't translate to England, unfortunately, or it hasn't in the past.
Well, yeah, okay.
You've got to assume there's method behind the madness. I can't wait to see what it is, though.
I think his team will be all the experienced names that are in his squad. And everyone else has come along for the ride.
He said he doesn't want to start any debutants. So
I think most people could pick England's 15.
Well, you just apply that rule and you can pick the 15.
Yeah.
I think Farrell, will, in 4 years' time, will...
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices
down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I've surpassed Ford as a starting 10. I think Ford's skill set is wonderful, but here's just a little prediction.
Wait to see him together.
Here's a little prediction. Ford's skills might be too young man based. Does that make sense? He's very, very good at changing direction. He's very quick, and maybe he relies too much on his footwork and not enough on his distribution.
He will learn, though. He's getting good experience, even though he's in a losing team at the moment.
How good, though, to have those two guys
at
the age they're at.
A ton of width.
Owen Farrell against Ulster was absolutely superb. He was deserved man of the match.
Yeah.
He was brilliant.
He was. There's some funny, quotes we've been given.
So we've literally got some funny quotes.
Nick Mullins knows when to and when not to use the word literally, because he did a brilliant quote. He had a Nick Mullins special, didn't he, in the Toulon Wasps game.
It was awesome.
It was Ashley Johnson's hit on Brian Habana, which even went to the TMO because they thought there must be something dodgy with that, because
he's been atomised.
He's been flying, yeah, and Nick Mullins described it as Brian Habana being atomised. Literally atomised.
We just start saying he's been figuratively atomised.
Yeah, it was brilliant.
It was a great hit as well, and great refereeing. Because in first glance, it looked bad, because Habana just flew backwards at a rate of knots. But Ashley Johnson was perfectly technically correct.
Nick Mullins, big fan of the pod, by the way. He sent along his compliments.
Brilliant.
But he would not make the mistake we're about to say. So we got contacted saying, and I couldn't find this bit of audio. I did look and I tried. Ian Levy said that Ian Wright, he was listening to BBC Five Live, and Ian Wright said Liverpool literally blitzed Arsenal.
So what was that involved? Panzer tanks and Stukas?
Must be.
Is it Doodlebugs being sent over?
No, that wouldn't be blitz. That was a bit later on, yeah.
Oh, I've got the Nick Mullins. Got the Nick Mullins here. Atomised. So not literally obliterates him. Nick Mullins gets it right.
I love that. That's awesome.
What a wordsmith.
Yeah.
I'll reach into my bag of words and find atomised. Perfect.
Here we go. So this is a clip just someone sent us. It's not happened over the weekend, but it's just of knowing how much we love the misuse of the word literally. This is Irish commentary of Rory Best scoring against New Zealand, I think.
The try just coincided with an earthquake, Tim.
Oh, I see.
Seismic activity.
Oh, I see.
That actually might have happened. Maybe the earth literally did move. These stadiums can be very loud.
Oh, there's a good tweet we got from Mark Morant as well, who said, I've got a feeling JB will like this. And it's Eddie Jones, his view of culture.
Oh, yeah.
You talk about... Shall I do it in an Eddie Jones voice?
Please do.
Yes, please.
No! Can you do it in the voice of Jonathan Spratt?
You what?
You do it in the voice of Jonathan Spratt.
No, boy, no problem. You talk about culture. Culture is about doing things right, isn't it? If players have got a problem from the past, they need to sort it out, not me. I send them down the pub forward! Give them £10 each and they can sort it out.
That's probably a bit more. Channeling some Tom Jones there.
So that was Tim Cocker doing the impression of Jonathan Spratt
reading out an Eddie Jones quote.
Yeah. Very good. Basically, Eddie Jones going, culture's nothing a coach needs to concern themselves with. You send them down the pub, they'll sort it out.
Which is exactly what the Vunipola boys said.
Yep.
It is. Although £10 wouldn't get Billy Vunipola very far.
Not so far, no. Especially not in the London pubs around St Albans.
You might get a pint and a half.
Exactly.
Right, well, there's a couple of other international squads. Do you think there'll be anything different or exciting from the Wales squads, JB?
I doubt it. I mean... Yeah, I mean, I guess the thing about debating the Welsh squads is it's sort of like debating, you know, the Swiss train timetable. It's always reliable and it's well run. Whereas, you know, that's why we get so much entertainment out of England. It's like watching a Benny Hill film. So, no, nothing really. Gatland's still a genius and he'll do what Gatland does.
Well, the Welsh squad, because of injuries in the World Cup, it was so damn big. There's undoubtedly going to be all of those players, or certainly a vast majority of those players, be called up. So I can't see there being any surprises.
Yeah, Ainscombe apparently is available for selection now. Don't know if that's interesting or not. Probably not.
Probably not, because he's not going to be first choice.
No.
Third choice.
Right, John Davis is back in. That's very exciting. Yeah, Jonathan Davis is back in, which is hugely important. I don't think Scott Williams is near fitness. I don't think Liam Williams is near fitness.
Halfpenny's not near fitness.
But Jamie Roberts is. Dan Bigger is.
Any Welsh props playing well? Is that still the worry area?
Nicky Smith from Ospreys is on a run of games.
Samson Lee.
Yeah, so you know, all the big boys are fit. Jake Ball is not fit. But Alan Wynne-Jones is. So.
And Bradley Davis.
Bradley Davis.
And Charteris. Charteris is playing very well in that. Dan Carter's Racing 92 to give them their full title.
Yeah.
I've not seen or heard anyone refer to Racing 92 as anything other than Dan Carter's Racing 92.
It's like, so we've got Dan Carter's Racing 92. We've got
Pride Ulsterman.
We've got English Sam Underhill, because that is his full name, is English Sam Underhill. There must be another one somewhere.
I think it was young Michael Owen that started this in 1998 or whenever it was.
Yep. Anyway, quite possibly.
The first time there started to be a prefix before any sportsman's name.
So what happened in Dan Carter's Racing 92?
They just look immense. They absolutely spanked their opponents.
Yeah.
It's like there's a competition, isn't there, by two neighbours with new money, and they're both trying to outdo each other with new cars and, you know, new patios and stuff, which is Bougela. And is it, how do you say, Lorenzi or whatever his name is? He's got some crazy name.
Whoever he is.
And they're just going back and forth.
Big Sexy started again?
Yeah. Well, he started like five in a row. Yep. Who'd have thought Dan Carter comes to France just to save the career of Mike Phillips?
And they are playing some seriously good rugby. Yeah. Their offloading game is immense. They've got gas out wide. They've got Imhoff, Brice Doulan, and this young Dupont, this young French winger who scored a great try from about 60 yards. No. Their pack is monstrous. Yeah. Based on this form, them and Saracens would be my two favourites for the final.
We'll get into the seedings and stuff in a minute. But Ireland as well, they've got CJ Standers, whoever, for Munster, who everyone's talking about, performing brilliantly at number 8. Finally, Jamie Heaslip's got someone to compete for that jersey with.
Jamie Heaslip is basically the Patrick Kluivert of rugby. Like, he's a complete flat-track bully. I've not seen him have a good game against a good team almost ever. Outside of the France
that is
try.
Nonsense.
Trust me.
You mean Lions first choice number 8, Jamie Heaslip?
He, and three times Heineken Cup final
not
winner.
Not a big
Jamie
game
Heaslip.
Player. Hear me now, believe me later.
That is nonsense.
It's not.
You see, you've made some good points, JB, but you just. Okay. You just undermine them when you say stuff like that.
In the last 3 years, he's won a Lions tour, he's won 3 Heineken Cups, and he's won back-to-back Six Nations title as the starting first choice number 8.
and you're saying he's not a horrible World Cup. Doesn't really perform in Six Nations. But outside of his trying against France all those years ago, I can't remember last time he had a really good Six Nations.
Anyway,
he isn't with Peter
O'Mahony on the sidelines. CJ Stander to 6. Would you, if you were Irish coach,
possibly? Although. Heaslip got a bad knock to head last weekend or a couple of weeks ago. So if he's fit, possibly CJ Stander. There are some other injuries in the Ireland squad. Hendo, obviously out. Mm. Tommy Bowe, obviously out.
So who does assume Paul O'Connell's shirt then if Hendo is out?
Good question.
I don't think it's Paul O'Connell's shirt now. I think we're going to have to let that go.
Yeah, retire the shirt. Retire number 5.
Yeah, play with number 16 and number 4.
It is like David Moyes, though. Whoever comes in that shirt is like David Moyes taking over from Alex Ferguson.
It's poison
you
chalice.
You can't take over from Paul O'Connell.
No, you can't.
Hendo would have done a damn good job. Unfortunately, he's injured. this Leinster team that played at the weekend and comfortably beat Bath was made up of like 21 and 22 year olds. Ross Maloney, the lock who got man of the match, was superb. But it's the first I've seen of him.
Yeah.
So I'm not suggesting he'll be there for Ireland.
I suppose the only other thing to watch out for from an Irish point of view, but this is more when we get into the extra Six Nations themselves, is your man McCloskey in the centre.
Yes.
Big old unit in the, potentially in the centre. And Ringrose as well. He's been playing really good rugby for Leinster.
Yes, he has. And he's genuine pace, Ringrose, as well. Very few starts, but...
It's the one thing you can't defend, isn't it, JB?
Correct. Pace.
But yeah, I'd expect both of those to be in the Ireland training squad at least. I mean, McCloskey, even against Saracens, he was one of the few players who came out with a lot of credit from that match. Here's an interesting thing for you.
Fire away.
Go on.
McCloskey and what's his name? Taylor. The Saracens. Duncan Taylor.
Yeah.
They both started at 12. Mm-hmm. McCloskey carried for 63 metres. I think he carried about 13 times for 63 metres. Duncan Taylor at 12 carried about 9 times for 70 metres. Mm-hmm. Jamie Roberts in a comfortable win for Quins over Cardiff Blues.
Okay,
carried 10 times.
30 metres.
Too many advance on 30 metres.
Well, and if you haven't listened to many podcasts previously, that's based on JB's theory that whatever the opposition, whatever the game, whatever position, wherever, Jamie Roberts will always make 3 yards. Even if he was in open play with no one in front of him, would just make 3 yards.
And no less, and certainly no more.
And if he's got 10 players all descending on him at the same time, he'll still somehow manage to make 3 metres. So you're going for 30. 55.
33.
Yes! I told you.
It just doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
No
three
way.
Yards, guaranteed. Would you take guaranteed 3 yards every carry?
I would. Do you ever listen to Five Live Sports Extra?
Not unless I have to.
So, unless there's a game on, you'd never listen to it.
Unless their boss is listening all the time, I'd love to be on there.
If there's not a game on, they play like this loop of... it's like a tennis clip, a football clip.
Oh, yeah.
The rugby union clip. I think it's Wales versus South Africa, and it's the commentator going, like, really, really enthused. And he crashes it into the Springbok defence for a one-yard gain. That is the best clip you can find. That's repeated like 50 times a day. Must be Jamie Roberts.
That's 1 yard. He'd have two more.
Yeah.
All right, let's talk about back to European rugby and this weekend. So the situation, as I understand it, is there are 3 teams that are qualified for the quarterfinals in the European Cup.
Correct.
Who are Saracens, who've got 24 points already.
Yes.
Leicester, who have 23 points already. And Racing Metro, who have 22 points.
Dan Carter's Racing 90.
Dan, sorry.
92. They're officially called...
I had no idea who you meant. I do now.
Yeah, they officially changed their name to Racing 92. Last year, and they've then again officially changed their name to Dan Carter's Racing 92.
Just a quick trivia question: which team has changed their name twice in the Premiership?
London Wasps.
Wasps. From Wasps to London Wasps, back to Wasps.
And Wasps. Okay, and there's another one.
Earth Titans.
No, they weren't. They weren't in the Premiership.
They were at one stage, weren't they?
Rotherham were.
Sale Sharks went from Sale Sharks to Sharks for a period. Sorry, Sale FC to Sale Sharks to Sharks and back to Sale Sharks. Because they wanted to encapsulate the Manchester market.
Landlocked city that is Manchester.
Exactly.
On a ship canal. right, so 3 teams are qualified.
Correct.
Now let's just recap the way this works. 8 teams qualify. The 4 pool victors.
5 pool.
5 pool victors and the 3 best, highest point scoring, second place sides.
Right, yeah.
And then of those 8 teams, the top 4 in terms of the number of points they've managed to score in their 6 pool matches, mm-hmm, will get home draw. Mm-hmm. You will be seeded 1-8 based on points you've managed to accumulate. 1 will play 8, 2 will play 7, 3 will play 6, four will play five. One, two, three, and four seeds at home.
Yeah.
The added element of this, which keeps this interesting for teams like Saracens and Leicester and Racing 92, is when it comes to semi-finals, the top two seeds,
yep,
if they win their quarter-final, get home country advantage in the semis.
Correct.
Yes.
So there's still a carrot dangling there for all of those teams. And if you're still following me on that, well done. Because it's not simple.
But if you...
Basically, you want to qualify, then you want to try and qualify in the top four, and then if you have the option to, try and qualify in the top two.
Yes.
Yes.
Very true.
So, we've got three that are through. So we have one home semi-final, quarter-finalist left to find, and two home quarter-finalists left to find, and three runners-up.
Yes.
So let's deal with the pool victors. Who? What are the options for the other pool victors, the other two pool victors?
Well, currently residing in those places are Ospreys, ahead of Clermont.
And you'd expect them to hold that position?
Well, Ospreys travel to Exeter.
And so even though Exeter will probably put out an understrength...
Exeter aren't mathematically out of it yet. They'd have to have a 5-point win and hope other results go their way, but they're not mathematically out of it.
I think if Exeter were trying to get through, they would have put out a better team against Bordeaux.
Yeah, they clearly checked out last week. Yes. I'd have thought.
I do agree with that. But they have just rested a load of their players, so they might field a stronger team. So that, I mean, I've set up a spreadsheet here.
He really has.
Oh, of course he has.
There you go, Tim.
Oh, wow.
On my lunch hour today.
So basically, we could put in any given result, and it will work it out for us?
Yes. It'll tell us who's going through and who's not going through. So, shall we go through game by game?
Yeah.
Okay.
So, pool one.
Yeah.
Saturday, 1 p.m. Toulouse, who are out, host Saracens.
Who are very much in.
And will want a top two spot and to keep the momentum going and will...
Yes. Saracens, 5 points.
Saracens, five. Happy with that?
I'll go with that, yeah.
Because Toulouse, they will rest people. I think Saracens will be 4 or 5
four
points.
Or five, yeah.
And for the purpose of this, it doesn't actually matter because they're 2 points clear of Racing.
Yeah.
Ulster, who are not mathematically out of it yet, host Oyonnax. Now, Ulster need a 5-point win and results to go their way.
Yeah. And they'll probably get it.
So I would say Oyonnax will not travel well. They'll rest people. They had a good win against Toulouse this weekend. So 5 league points to 0 for Ulster.
Yeah.
Then Clermont, who are currently in the top eight.
Yes.
And are in second place to Ospreys in their table. Host Bordeaux. Who after their win are, again, still not mathematically out of it.
But they've got near as damn it.
They've got to travel. Yeah. They'd have to have a big 5-point win and hope lots of results.
I think another 5-point win there. I think there's going to be a lot of 5-point wins.
They'd have to have a big 5-point win away in Clermont.
Yes.
Yeah. No. And the French teams are terrified of being away to Clermont.
No, exactly. No. So 5-0 for Clermont. Then Exeter Ospreys. It depends very much what Exeter do. Because I think if Exeter put a full-strength team out, they could win this.
Losing bonus point. Exeter win to Ospreys.
4-1. Exeter 1 point. Ospreys Tim? 4.
Yep.
Let's go with that.
We'll assume that Rob Baxter is going to not play his strongest team. Although, whatever Exeter team go out, they're not going to roll over.
No.
Especially not at home.
Not at all. I think he'll use it as another opportunity to look at some of his young talents. Because some of them, Byron McGuigan, the 15...
Barry McGuigan?
Byron.
Oh, right, sorry.
Barry McGuigan.
He looked really good. Then, pool three. Glasgow, who are out, host Racing 92.
Who will want a top two.
And they'll get a 5-pointer.
They'll win.
Let's do that. 5 points for...
They'll want to keep it rolling.
Then Scarlets, again, who are out, host Northampton.
Who will get a 5-point win because they have to.
They definitely have to.
Well, it might be a 4-point win. They haven't been scoring that many tries, have they?
No, they used their... I think they scored 3 at the weekend, but it wasn't particularly comfortable. Yeah. They used their big rolling ball.
And Scots have got, no players. Zero. None.
Well, let's go for 4 points.
4 points right. Northampton.
4 points Northampton.
Then Treviso, Munster, dead rubber, irrelevant, ignore.
Ignored.
Stade Francais.
Ooh, I'm looking forward to this one.
Who are currently in 7th place... only on points difference. Points difference it is. They host Leicester. Now, this is a big game because if Stad win, they can maintain top eight, go through to the quarters.
Yeah.
But Leicester, need to win to ensure that they get a home semi-final and the top two.
Well, it's home country semi-final, but it'll be up the road at the Ricoh, which is many more. That's basically like a home game. If they get a French team or something.
So I'm going to say Stade win, but Leicester bonus point, but only one of them.
Richard Cockerell said after the Leicester game at the weekend that they will be sending his best team to Stade to try and win.
I think they will.
I think Stade
are
going to be too powerful.
Munster played very well and comfortably beat Stade this weekend, and Munster haven't been particularly good this season.
Yeah, that's interesting.
So that does throw a bit of a spanner in work, but Leicester teams away.
Leicester have got Mullapola and Sir Loosehead. They've got Cole at tight.
Yeah, but that Stade scrum is the reason that they're champions. I mean, they're not particularly exciting in the backs unless that's changed, but their scrum is phenomenal.
I've not seen much of Stade this year, but last season their centres were superb.
Dante. Yeah, that's it.
And there's two centres who were absolutely electric.
Well,
this is a big game.
It's a big, big game.
They're fourth from bottom in the league at the moment.
What is wrong with the French league? It is such a crazy place.
When you say that, look at how well Newport Gwent Dragons are playing in the Challenge Cup versus Pro 12. They're terrible.
Yeah, Challenge Cup.
They're top of their pool.
Rest in the Challenge Cup, though. Yeah. I don't think the Challenge Cup is a true reflection. Right, Stade Leicester.
Massive game.
I think
we need to consensus. I think Leicester will edge it. You think Stade will edge it?
So it's down to you, Phil.
I think Leicester might edge it. I'm just going on Stade's form from what I've seen of them this year. They're not the team they were, or they're not playing like the team they were last year. So I'm going to give Stade 2 losing bonus points.
Okay, good. Yeah.
And Leicester 4 points.
Yeah.
Then Bath, who are out, host Toulon. I'm going to say an ugly encounter and Toulon scrape a 4-point victory.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Then Wasps, who are currently in 6th place, and if they win, they should secure a place in the quarterfinals, host Leinster, who... They're playing well, Leinster.
They are playing well.
Wasps aren't.
Yeah, Wasps aren't. Although it was a very
great effort against.
Yeah, I don't think they'll be spurred on by that. I think they'll realise what a good team they could be, and they'll really want to get
through. It's a cup final for Wasps, isn't it? Knockout rugby starts here for Wasps.
Exactly, and you'd have to back them to win, but not with a bonus point. I'd say.
Yeah, I'll go. With
4 points. 4 points to Wasps and Leinster. It doesn't really matter. Put them in as one.
Is that everyone?
Let's see what that has done to my table.
So, based on our predictions, Phil's spreadsheet is working his magic.
Beep, beep, beep.
Your seedings show come up as what? We should put a picture of this on Twitter just so we can say we've predicted this beforehand.
So, Saracens top with 29 points. Now, Racing would actually finish second. Because of points difference.
Yeah.
Assuming that Leicester don't hammer Stade by more than Racing hammer Glasgow by, which I think we're fairly confident to say. Racing in second, Leicester in third, and currently lined up Ospreys to claim the fourth home semi-final. Home quarter-final. Toulon, then in fifth, and they would travel...
Two
Ospreys.
Two Ospreys, yeah.
Congratulations, you've won your pool.
So, yeah, say what the quarterfinals would be as you go. So, Saracens, seeded number one, will play at home.
Saracens.
Seed eight, which would be,
let me just check on the points difference. It would actually be Ulster.
Wow.
In this scenario.
Can that happen?
How is it Ulster?
Is that allowed to happen? Where the same pool? It must be allowed to happen.
Presumably, Ulster would finish eighth because of points difference, assuming that Ulster beat Oyonnax by more than Northampton beat Scarlets by.
Where are you getting?
Ah, okay. So it'll be down to points difference, but Saracens will play depending on what the scores are and the points difference and how that works out. Saracens seeded one will play Northampton or Ulster seeded eight.
Yes.
At Allianz.
Racing seeded two will play Clermont. Seeded 7. Leicester.
Yeah, seeded 3.
Would host Wasps.
Oh, they'd fancy that at home.
Seeded 6.
Oh,
and
that'll be a big one, that as well.
Ospreys would host Toulon.
Ooh.
Ospreys.
And hypothetically, you'd see Saracens going through against Northampton or
Yes.
I think Saracens would be far more comfortable against the French team than they would against Northampton.
Racing, Clermont, you'd fancy Racing at home against Clermont. You'd fancy Leicester at home against Wasps.
And Toulon away.
Toulon possibly away against Ospreys.
Is it not a home country, or is it just at Welford Road? Yeah, it's just at Welford Road, isn't it?
For the quarterfinals. Semi-finals, a neutral venue, home country. Which would mean, if that happens and Toulon win that one, our semi-finals, home country advantage would go to Saracens.
Yeah.
Who would play Toulon in England somewhere.
Yeah.
And Racing, who would play
Leicester
in France.
Yeah.
And don't forget,
why it's so important that Leicester try and outdo Racing this weekend.
Yes, because if Leicester get 5 points, they can guarantee that they will finish above Racing.
We should quickly touch on the Challenge Cup then, just to quickly touch on it.
Okay.
So the first game of the rugby week.
Have you got some ulterior motive here?
No.
Are you working a Challenge Cup game or something?
And this is your preparation?
No.
It is a little bit like when you said, "Isn't the Pro 12 great?" And then we found out that you had like a job in Llanelli or somewhere.
So I was working for BT Sport at the Dragons game last Friday.
What's the Dragons like for press and food?
It was all right. We ended up in. I was glad to be able to watch the game from somewhere indoors because it was so cold.
Was it?
But I was in basically the room where the wives and girlfriends watch. Mm. And they had a proper old school finger buffet with...
Volavants.
with four different types of flavoured sandwiches, one on a tray. One with
sounds delectable.
One with pork pie sliced up.
Oh, nice.
And breaded chicken, cold breaded chicken.
Sounds ideal.
But in pool two of the Challenge Cup, Dragons are travelling to the AJ Bell Stadium on Thursday night, the first game of the rugby weekend, and it's a winner-takes-all showdown for top spot, basically.
Yeah.
I imagine Sale will come through and win that one.
Yeah, big game, that.
Oh, did you saw NSI beat Newcastle?
Did they?
Yeah.
Well, NSI?
Yes.
So there you go. So one day they're going to win the European Cup. Providing they get like a favourable draw.
Yeah.
And like, imagine if they get home country advantage in a semi. They go, right, where we go to Siberia. Like, as far possibly east as they could.
Yeah. Quinton and Gloucester looking good.
Yeah.
Do you know what we have missed out? Transfers. We've got two transfers.
Oh, go on.
We've got Ollie Devoto going to Exeter.
Yeah. Exeter.
And we also have, very interestingly, the young Polish cop going to Saracens.
Lazowski.
Hey, Lazowski.
Hey, I reckon Flat nicked your gag about Lazowski.
I couldn't remember if I cracked it on the pod or not.
You've cracked it on the pod a few times. So JB has frequently said, every time we mention Alex Lazowski, the Wasps' young up-and-coming fly half, that JB's many a time mentioned he sounds like a New York cop.
He does.
And David Flatman might have made that joke on Twitter.
I've got the chief, the DA and the mayor all up my ass.
Now, Tim, have you ever read Fist First by Nigel Mustard?
Oh, what a book this is.
It sounds like what happened to JB in that earlier. No, I've not.
One of the funniest books you'll ever read.
Tell me about Fist First.
Probably, it really is one of the funniest books you'll ever read. It's a parody. It's available on Kindle. But the reason I'm thinking about this...
Is it your good friend's...
It is.
Yeah. Our friend Harry has written a book. It's called Fist First. It's a parody by Nigel Mustard, who... Oh, hang on. Are we allowed to mention his name? Because he's got an alias. Who cares?
Yes.
It's extremely funny. And we don't recommend you read it. We demand you read it.
It's currently free on Kindle as well.
It's free.
But the police chief, the Polish origin police chief in that is called Kowalski. So I keep on thinking of
Lazowski.
Hey, Lazowski, give me a coffee. Coffee. So we'd recommend that.
Yeah, and also
we should find some other things we can recommend on the next podcast. Like, I don't know, just male grooming stuff or something like
Ooh,
that.
Ooh, that'd be good. There's a male grooming sponsor.
Male grooming sponsor for the pod that we can
tweet us if you've downloaded Fist First, and we might even give you a retweet or something nice. I don't know. We'll work it out.
Hey, let's remember this is a rugby podcast.
Yes, it is.
Okay.
You've done your plug for your mate. Well done. And you better
There's other. So Saracens have signed that Fijian Sevens players.
Don't name.
Rawaka.
No, heard of him.
Who looks pretty handy.
Halfpenny sticking it to Lon, not going to Scarlett.
Is that right?
Yeah.
It's not confirmed. He's not actually signed on the dotted line
now
yet.
No, that means Laporte that is indicated. He is not going to be... He's not. He's going to be outside of the current agreement. So currently, if you're playing outside of Wales, you don't have to take up a wildcard spot. But if you re-sign outside of Wales, then you do take up a wildcard spot. So that's going to put his international future in some uncertainty.
Don't you only take up a wildcard spot if the WRU offer you offer you what they deem to be
a
fair and reasonable contract
that
offer.
Is a horrific bit
there's
of wording.
Anything that you hear has an asterisk next to it, as we've already identified before, going or whatever Warren says.
Yeah,
kind of.
Yeah.
Kind so of. Would Warren technically say Lee Halfpenny, we will have him in the squad because actually I didn't think it was a market rate.
This is just horrible talking about it. Rugby fans shouldn't be talking in such terms.
But like
they?
Charteris has gone to Bath, and he didn't have a WRU offer, as far as I'm aware.
No.
So he's entitled to play for Wales because there wasn't an alternative offer on the table.
So if they want to keep
I reckon they're doing this all behind closed doors. They're going, Luke, if we offered you something, would you come sign for a Wales region?
No,
I'm going to Bath. Oh no, we never offered him anything.
Yes, kind of like that.
Well, they did take an offer off the table for Scott Williams.
Weren't Ospreys and Scarlets fighting over him?
They're absolute morons, aren't they?
They don't have enough players to be that fussy. So
no, exactly.
So just fudge it. Fudge it, whichever way you need to do it, fudge it.
Well, of course, you could
like England fudge it, so we get Stephen Armitage as a genuine seven. But again, Scotland rather than having Haskell in. But anyway, that's just my
forget that
opinion.
You want Sam Underhill.
But bearing in mind that you'd back Haskell for captaincy of the England team,
yeah, 100%.
And I believe Haskell will probably start at seven against Scotland. Does that mean Haskell could be the captain?
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely it does.
Owen Farrell, captain.
I'm with you on that, Phil.
Yeah, I think that's a great shot.
I've sat with that for a week, and I think Owen Farrell has.
Well, I don't really like backs as captains. Really, can you name a really good backs captain?
John De Villiers.
Will Carling.
Sorry. Will Carling.
George Gregan.
George Gregan's a fair one, yeah.
Brian O'Driscoll.
Tana Umanga. Nick Farr-Jones, scrum half, won the World Cup with Australia.
Scrum offs, yeah, I can see. Outside backs, if you had like a list of top 10 captains. In fact, we should do that.
Top 10 captains.
Top 10 captains.
Captains 15.
I think we've done that in the past.
15, yeah.
Let's just list our top 10 captains.
Okay.
Next week.
Top ten all time captains.
Because it'll all be second rows. There's a load of good second rows.
Second rows, back rows, very common. Two more. We're on transfer news.
Oh yeah, go on.
Final two. Connacht prop Rodney Ayew.
Yeah.
Irish through and through.
Ayew
has signed for Ulster.
Yep, saw that
from
today.
Next year. And Ospreys have filled a gap that has been vacant since 2011. When Big Sexy left for Breve.
Oh, yes.
By having the most handsome man in the British Isles playing for them from next year.
Oh, no. How most handsome man in the world?
When JJ Engelbrecht will join them. Look at him. I don't often need an excuse to search for topless images of
JJ Engelbrecht.
JJ Engelbrecht.
But we'll do it one more time anyway.
Wonderful stuff.
Goodness me.
He'll be enjoying AU night in Swansea.
Oh, watch out, the women of Swansea.
next couple of years.
The man is going to clean up.
Look at him there.
He'll be in one of those Swansea nightclubs with his one of those tight fit t-shirts with the really wide collar.
Yeah, which apparently is still in fashion down in South Wales. In fact, lots of people saw Andy Powell taking one off in London, when Bargoyd came to play RGC.
Murther.
When I did go to South Wales, it's ridiculous how I always forget how close together everything is.
Yeah, it's really close, isn't it?
It's like everything's within about 20 mile.
Cousins,
square.
Brothers and sisters, they're all really close. So.
Right, you better get back and change a nappy or something, can't you?
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
JB?
I guess so.
Nice one, Phil.
Thank you, Tim.
And we'll see you on the next podcast in a bit.
Bye.